So you notice I use the rail just to, I don't want to make a show or a scene here, you know, coming in the on the steps out here. I don't know what happened. I didn't realize it was quite that high. I almost come diving in here tonight, but my wife was with me. She helped me there, so that was great. Yeah, so thanks, Michael, for those thoughts. You know, when you're given assignment, you know, you say you'll go to someplace and speak, you're not sure what the message was that morning, not sure. But I was thinking, you know, I was thinking John 15, you know, I was thinking about it, rehearsing my mind, and then I left it go and went to another one. Because I think, you know, we do live in a, we live in a hurting world. And I thought, what is it that we need to, what do we need to hear? I think it's important as Christians that we encourage one another. We're in this together. But it's also, as I was reading through 1 Samuel, I found 8 words in there that really blessed me. It really stood out to me. It was David, probably in one of the lowest moments of his life. It says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I'm thinking, wow, that's so important. So important for us today. Because, you know, the media that we listen to, the news, you know, they love to publicize negative things. There's just so much hurt in this world. And it seems whether it's true or false, they just love to get that word out there. And I still remember something my father told me years ago. He said, you know, Claire, I said, I read it in the paper. And he said, paper will hold still for anything. You know, you can print anything on paper because it's going to take it. So don't just think it's true just because you read it in the paper. So, but what's interesting, what we do read in the paper was prophesied. Jesus told us. Jesus said, this is going to happen. There will be wars. There'll be rumors of wars. There's going to be pestilence. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be a lot of things happening. So we know it's not a surprise to us. But yet it's still, we live. This is the world we live in. It's a world of pain. And how do we deal with it? So I'm just hoping that the Bible, you know, becomes more precious to us every day. You know, as we read these things, see these things, hear these things, you know, the Word of God should become precious. And that's why it's so important that we take it and read it, because I think we can learn, you know, a lot as we look at the history in the Bible, those men of old that that sought the Lord and how he used them, how he strengthened them. So I just want tonight, you can turn to 1 Samuel 30. I was going to look at verses 1-8, although I will look at some Apostle Paul, some of his writings, and also maybe just a little window into my life. That's always a little scary to open those windows, but I think sometimes it's good if we do. I think it helps others to reflect on what God may be doing in their lives, too. So I do want to look at that. And the important thing is that when I think about encouraging ourselves, it's not some humanistic view that we can do it ourselves, but it's that we set our hope in God. There's a verse in Psalms that blesses me. It's Psalm 78:7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. So it's so important that we teach it, that we put our hope in God. That's my goal tonight, is that we put our hope in God and we look to God for the strength, because that's who provides it. It's not what I can do, but rather what God can do. Maybe I'll start with a window into my life. October 2012. So it's 12 years ago, a little bit over. And I bent over to pick something up and something snapped in my back. I heard it pop and it hurt. I went down, I lay on the floor for a while. I'm finally able to get up, you know, we're men, we can handle this. You know, there's nothing too big for us. But as I, it just, you know, it chewed in. And so I went to the chiropractor. I probably chiropractored maybe 2 months. And it just wasn't getting better. So I did what good Mennonites do. You find another chiropractor, right? That's what I did. And I like what he said. He said something that really kind of impressed me. He said, he gave me a treatment. He said, that should take care of it. And next day I went back again. He said, oh, you're back again. He said, well, I think you probably should see a medical doctor. He said, what you need is a muscle relaxer. He said, you get that. And, you know, your body's made to heal itself. And I thought, boy, this guy's talking my language. I'll go to the doctor and get some pills and I'll be back to work and everything will be fine. But when I went to the doctor, I told him, I said, I just want you to know there's no surgery. You got that? He said, I understand. He said, it's not always the right thing, but sometimes it is. So he gave me pills to relax my back because the chiropractor told me, he said, I can't really do anything with it. Your muscles are that tight, nothing moves. So when I start taking this here, things really went south. I mean, I had pain shooting down my leg. They said, get an x-ray. So I got an x-ray. It said, oh, the bone looks good. So the next step was an MRI, but first you need to get you have to go to therapy. Well, I went to therapy one day and the next day I couldn't get off the floor. And I called him, I said, I can't come back today because I can't get up. And he said, well, I know it makes you a little sore. He said, that's how it works. And I said, no, I'm not a little sore. I can't get up. And so I crawled to the car. My wife took me to the emergency room, thinking that maybe we could get a MRI, get this on its way. And the nurse or the doctor there said, oh, I can't do that. She said, I'll mix a concoction. It's called 3 shots, and then I'll send you home. And that's what she did. And it was a lot of pain medicine, and it did take the edge off the pain, but it didn't last. And so I think it went till Friday. No, yeah, Saturday morning, I believe it was. I tried to get a hold of the doctor. I laid there all day Friday. Then Saturday, I called him again, and they said, well, he's with somebody. I said, it's the same thing you told me yesterday. And miraculously, he was between patients. It was such a blessing. And then he ordered an MRI. He said, they're going to have to do it, read it. And he said, they'll call me after the MRI. And then they realized that L4 was herniated, another was bulging. And he said, well, you'll have to see a surgeon, you know. And I said, well, when can I see him? You know, because I'm still in pain. And he said, well, next Friday. I'm like, next Friday? There's got to be more, you know, doctors around that can do this. And he said, well, I really like this surgeon. He said, he's a good surgeon. And, you know, he's off on Monday, but if he sees any concerns, he'll call you Tuesday. Or he'll call you if he has concerns. Well, Tuesday, the phone rang, and it was the doctor's office. But just prior to that, I wrestled. You know, I thought I deserved better. You know, I was just couldn't believe I was laying and couldn't go to work. And, Lord, you know, and the pain, I can't take it, you know. And and what was interesting, I got a mental picture of Jesus on the cross. And what a difference that makes when you see that and you realize that Jesus is there for my sins and he's enduring probably much more pain than I am. It's okay, God. I'm all right with it. Just if you could just take this pain. And you know, when you spend a week on your back and you're praying and you don't sure if you're getting through to God. You don't know if he hears you or does he care. But if you could just give me a sign. And when that phone rang, you know, about 10 minutes after, I put it in God's hands. And that's when God can move. And I think, you know, wow, isn't that amazing? We want God's help. We want it our way. But listen, God knows best. You know, put it in his hands and he can take it from there. And I just want to look at this here in David tonight. This is 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 through 8. And it came to pass when David and his men were came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive and their that were therein. They slew not either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went. And I just want to look at this here tonight. Why was David in the land of the Philistines? How'd he get there? And if you would go back to 1 Samuel 27, we see, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me and seek me, and to seek me any more in the coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish the son of Maok, king of Gath. So why was David there? Was David where God wanted him? I think sometimes we blame God for our circumstances that we're in. But here I think David was responsible for where he was at. I don't think this is where God had called him. Matter of fact, if we will look later, this is not what David was, where he was to reign as king. I mean, he was to reign as king in Israel. But I believe chapter 27 is a life, you know, is a chapter of David's life that we're not called to imitate, but we're to learn from it. I think we can learn from those mistakes. We see here there was fear, there was a lack of faith, there was deception. David's decision to go to the land of the Philistines was made without seeking God. He didn't seek God's direction, as he did here in chapter 30 that we read. It appears David made a hasty decision to believe in his own heart and forgot the promise that God had given to him. You know, earlier we see that David was anointed king. He was anointed king to be a king of Israel. And here we see that he fled. And that was in 1 Samuel 16, 13. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And, you know, David, he experienced God's protection as he was fleeing Saul. I mean, he was able to cut off what part of his garment and take his spear. God was with him. In 1 Samuel 28, 1 and 2, and it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight at Israel. And Achish said unto David, now thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Again, how can this be that David was willing to go with the enemy to battle the people that he was called to be king? You know, it just doesn't seem right. But as we read on, we we see here how God works out the details, how God was there to have him send him back. So in so the lords of the Philistines, when Achish brought David, they said, "No, not this man. This is a man that Israel was singing about. You know, Saul he killed in by the thousands, and David by the 10,000s. No way. You send him home." So Achish sent him back, and so. Again, we're just amazed at how God works out those details, you know, to get David back to where he belonged. But we see what David was faced with when he got back. It says that the Amalekites had surprised his city when it was left on guard and plundered it and burned it and carried away all the women and children captive. You know, what a way of getting David's attention when he gets back home. I just think in 3 days, it did say he had a 3 days journey. You know, if sometimes even just driving in my car, a 3 day journey is pretty nice to be home again, see home. But you imagine their mode of travel. And then when they get there, the city's burnt and everything that they treasured was gone, was taken. I mean, you can't, it just seems a pretty, I had to believe that that had to be one of David's lowest moments. And then not only that, but those men that he surrounded himself with, they wanted to stone him. You know, they wanted to turn on him. Those men thought they're going to have a place of position in David's kingdom. But here they found themselves beggars. They had nothing. They didn't have their wives. They didn't have their children. They had no home. It had to be a terrible feeling. And it says, David was greatly distressed. The people spake of stoning him. Because all the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. You know, how do we handle adversity? You see here that bitterness that came. Everything they valued was gone. What was there to live for? All hope in their leader was gone. They didn't have any confidence in David anymore. What was their response? Let's stone him. You know, let's get rid of him. And I had to think for myself, what is my response when hardships come? You know, how do we handle that? Do we become bitter? Do we, by God's grace, humbly accept it? Do we seek the Lord? Or do we just simply, hey, authorities don't do like we think. Stone them. Get rid of them. Hey, it's not my way. You know, but I had to think of Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians 1, 8, 9, and 10. And he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of the trouble which came unto us at Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despised even life." And I believe that's how David felt. You know, but we had this sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You know, the importance is that we continue, even in the midst of those circumstances, continue to trust in God. Paul was saying he's weighed down beyond what natural strength could support. You know, sometimes we're faced with things that we just on our own can't take it. We can't face it. We need God. When we sense God's presence in the middle of that there is a peace that comes. There's a peace in the midst of pain that can't be explained. And I can say that because when I got that phone call, I had peace. And my wife had concern. She's like, "Aren't you concerned?" I'm like, "Not anymore. God is with me. I sense it." What a peace, but we need to trust in God. Paul says, "We were troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're not perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." You know, trouble on every side, but not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You know, trouble on every side in every way, We were subjected to all kinds of trial and affliction. But what he says, we were pressed, but we weren't suffocated. You know, I've never been in that tight a spot where we felt the pressure, but not suffocated. And that's, I believe, where Paul felt himself. You know, he was pressed, but not completely discouraged or disheartened and overcome. He had resources in his piety, which enabled him to bear up under these trials and still engage in the work of preaching the gospel. You know, Paul, he still had that strength in the Lord. Troubled, he was pressed, but straightened, but he could still move his hands and his feet a little bit. He wasn't that locked down. It means that we're often brought into circumstances of great embarrassment where they hardly knew what to do or what course to take. They were surrounded by foes. They were in want. They were in circumstances which they had not anticipated and which greatly perplexed them. But the word despair means left entirely without resource. You know, as a child of God, I want to tell you tonight, we're never left entirely without a resource. And we can turn to God. God wants to help us through those moments. He wants to carry us through those moments, actually. But not forsaken, not deserted, not left by God. Though persecuted by men, yet they experienced the fulfillment of the divine promise that he would never leave them nor forsake them. You know, cast down by our enemies, but not destroyed, not killed. They rose again. They recovered their strength. And 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Again, the power is not of us, but is of God working in us. David, I believe, was at wit's end. You know, what was he going to do? But he wasn't at face end. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He sought the Lord. There are just 4 points that I just want to just go over quickly here. As David realized he could not put confidence in man, you know, it was not a safe place. Saul tried to kill him. Now his own army wanted to stone him. And I'm not sure, I didn't look this up, but Psalm 118, I'm not sure if this was David's psalm or not, but it certainly fits. It says, I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. David's confidence was in God. That's where he turned. That's where he put his confidence. And I believe David remembered what the Lord had already done for him, how the Lord had already protected him, and how he was anointed to be king over Israel. You know, sometimes we tend to forget what God has already done for us. But I believe David remembered what God had promised, what he called him to. He remembered that God is in control. And as every Christian, we need to keep that in the front of our minds. Like the time we're living, let's remember God is in control. You know, it may seem like this world is spinning out of control. God is still in control. Don't lose fact of that, focus of that. You know, David was in great distress, but David remembered what God promised to do. You know, he was anointed king. Samuel had anointed him king. And I believe David remembered this and put his confidence in the Lord. And the fourth is that David inquired of the Lord. So important. Shall I pursue? Do you want me to go after him? Will I recover him? Is this worth the effort? Should I go? And, you know, I think David claimed the promise of God, but he realized he needed God to show him the way. Sometimes we just need to have God show us the way. He could not trust his own heart for direction, but he sought the Lord. As he did back when he got to found himself in the land of Philistines there. when he said, I will now flee there to get away from Saul. But God can lead us if we seek his instructions. You know, we need to seek him, and God is willing to lead if, as long as we seek him. And he answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them without fail, recover all. So David went. That's important. When he got the instructions, he also followed through with the instructions. David went. And if you look on down in 1 Samuel in verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. What a beautiful ending. David recovered all. David did his part. God did his part. You know, as long as we follow through, we see it here that David recovered all. The question I have for myself is, when trouble arises, am I like David? Do I seek the Lord? Is that where I go with my problems? Take him to him? Or am I like the one of the 600? Let's stone him. Let's get rid of the problems, you know? But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And again, as I think about that, you know, we do encourage, or our instructions are to seek the Lord, to find that strength in the Lord. But we also recognize here that the Lord was David's personal God. He knew the Lord. He knew him. And he encouraged himself in that. He put his confidence back in the Lord. And I believe today everybody's looking for a sense of security. You know, some people put it in money. Is that a safe place? Proverbs 11:28 says, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. And Proverbs 23:5, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And in Matthew 13, there it said, the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. So let's not put our confidence or hope in something that can easily flee. I mean, as David noticed there, all his earthly possessions were gone. They were ashes when he got back. Is it government? Is it church? God uses man, but our confidence needs to be in the Lord. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Is it a strong army? You know, it always feels good, right? We're Americans. It feels good to have a strong army. But let's remember what Jonathan told his armor bearer. He said, come and let us go over onto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. You know, God is able. Our faith, our confidence needs to be in the Lord. And for us today, let's remember what God has done. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, every Christian should have this testimony, what God has done, what God has done for them. And we got to remember what God promised to do. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, we like to brag about some of our places we have. Some of us have nice cabins. Some of us have nice places by the seashore. But I want to tell you, my Lord has come, and he's gone back, and he's prepared a place for me in heaven. Wow. Let's not forget it. As a Christian, we have that to look forward to. How much greater, how much better could it get than that? Seek the direction of the Lord and act upon it. in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In all circumstances of life, seek God's direction and act upon it. We can act upon it with confidence, in faith. You know, that's how we can be sure. In closing here this evening, just looking at Moses' command, encouraged Joshua. "But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it." You know, this promise was to Joshua and every Christian today. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Like I said before, we are to encourage each other with these words, but I believe we need to encourage ourselves as well. We need to take time to seek the Lord, find that strength that God wants to put in us as we seek him in faith. We looked at the life of David and his decision, Apostle Paul. You know how to think. The trial was real. Sometimes we read this and kind of don't get the full effect of it, but I want to say the trial was real for these men, but so was the victory. It was real as well. There was a genuine victory. And my encouragement for each of you here tonight is Psalm 78:7, that we set our hope in God. Never forget the works of God and keep his commandments. And I also thought of one more verse here that Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:11. I believe this was near the end of his life. He said, "What persecutions and afflictions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me." That we find our strength and our confidence in the Lord. That is my prayer. That's my encouragement to each of you here tonight, that we can trust him regardless, because none of us know what's going to happen when we leave here tonight. We don't know, but we can trust the Lord. So with these thoughts, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I just pause to thank you. Your goodness, your love for mankind, the love that sent your only begotten Son to earth to provide salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for your willingness to endure that we can have forgiveness, we can have eternal life, and that we can have confidence the day we meet you. Lord, thank you for that. And I just pray tonight, I don't know what each of the people here in the congregation are faced with, the things that are going on in their lives, I don't know. But Lord, you do. And Lord, you're a God who desires to supply that strength. So that's my prayer, that you would meet each need here tonight as only you can. And Lord, help us to be faithful with what you've given us, to faithfully abide in the vine and be fruitful where you planted us. Through Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.